My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. Troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing, until then with joy I'll carry on, until my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while, and the things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, but until then, my heart will go on singing, until then, with joy I'll carry on, until the day my eyes behold the city. Toil and struggle made man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. But until then, my heart will go singing, until then with joy I'll carry on, until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home.
All right. Hope everybody can hear okay. Am I coming in loud and clear? I've got my picture up here. I was thinking about this, and then I searched to see if there was an image of this. And this is like this is America right now. We went from "Don't tread on me" to "Don't breathe on me," didn't we? Anyway, that's where we're at. Isn't that something? And Mike, you can buy me this shirt. I'll take it in double X, and you can send it to me at my new P.O. box. All right, good and loud and clear. Well, I feel like I haven't been here in a week, but I have. I just haven't really talked to any of you directly at all. I haven't communicated with you that much here because Pastor Mike was here and he was doing his, you know, I was kind of interviewing him and enjoying that time with him and kind of picking his brain about some things and giving you kind of a different perspective of things. So that's good that we were able to do that. Hope you enjoyed the conference. You know, it was a blessing for sure. And hopefully it was a blessing to you all, and it was a blessing to our church. We enjoyed it, had a good time. Pastor Mike preached some good messages. And Carl, we're Americans. We don't know how far 5 meters is. We don't use meters here. 5 meters. Please be 5 meters away. We don't do that here. Right? We don't do that here, Carl. We don't talk like that here. This is America. Right? I am thinking because we're not going to have... I'm going to be here to broadcast on Sunday. And you might ask me what I'm doing or how we're doing things here. Well, let me just tell you that the governor has put in an executive order. And however, with that executive order, he listed some things. And he actually exempted some things. But he also clarified his position on some things. And there's like one or two, there's only two positions that I could take with this. I could, number one, constitutionally, legally, fight it or just do it business as usual. Okay? I could do that. You know, I could argue it if I wanted to. He's asked people in Minnesota to voluntarily follow this. That he said, you know, we're not going to have people checking people's papers, and we're not going to have cops stopping people, and we're not going to bust you if you're driving around. We're not going to do all that. So basically saying that the executive order is just like a posturing position, that we know constitutionally we can't do this. That's what that executive order says. Okay. I've looked at this one or two ways. If this was simply against churches alone, then I would defy this order. I would absolutely defy it. If it was against churches solely and everyone else could be business as usual, everything is fine, but churches are restricted. Hear me out here, okay? If it was... Well, they can't stop the sale of booze. That's unconstitutional also. they really can't stop the sale of anything, really. But if you notice something, they're really not. Anyway, here's my point. Minnesota's a lot different than Michigan. But here's the point. If they're canceling 70,000 people auditoriums, if they're canceling 70,000 person auditoriums of basketball games, football games, baseball games, concerts, whatever the case may be, if they're canceling those, then it's not just against churches. It's not an edict against churches. Do you understand what I mean by that? I think you have to use wisdom and be careful. You're always going to have those guys out there that want to fight everything. And hey, I'm kind of one of those guys. I like fighting, okay? So I like the fight. I you know, part of me likes to fight. I grew up like that. I like to fight. But I have to understand the right fight. But it not only affects me, it affects children. It affects older adults. It affects the flock. It affects other people. Do you understand what I mean by that? So what I'm saying is that you have to use wisdom. Well, we don't have a curfew here. I don't know what that is. You're talking about a curfew. We don't have one here. So I don't know what that is. We don't have that here. But my point is, sure, I could fight it, but is it worth it for 2 weeks to fight it? Is it worth it for 2 weeks to do it? What am I really fighting? That's what you have to look at. You know, it's just, you have to be wise with your warfare. You've got to use wisdom with the way you fight. It's not only the fact that you fight, it's how you fight. Do you understand? There's a wisdom that's involved with it. Yeah, we don't have, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we don't have a lot of cops running around like that here. We're probably not as crazy in Minnesota. I think people are really tame here. I mean, it is the Midwest. I mean, we're like north of Iowa. So, I mean, we're I'm not saying there's not bad eggs wherever you go, but it's just, we're not really that crazy here. We're just not really like that. You know what I mean? For the most part, your inner cities are going to have more of the... They're really doing these things for the inner cities. That's really where they're meant to really... Because if you look at New York, it is a hotbed for sickness. Very bad. And those inner cities are going to be pockets. And great places to stay away from, airports, hospitals. Great places to always stay away from. Okay? Great places for you to be away from. And only go in case of dire, absolutely death emergencies. If not, tough it out at home. Do whatever you can to tough it out at home. There's a lot of things you can do, by the way. But anyway, so... So I've, in light of that, I've thought about... Yeah, Florida's another hotbed, you know, of that too. I just think you got to use wisdom, okay? Use wisdom and fight the right fight. When we're talking about a temporary issue, you know, we're talking about temporary things. Let me look at something here. Let me see if I can find this. Hang on a second. Hmm. Let's see here. Give me a second and I'll find something I was looking for. I thought this was, let's see. David Ickes said, yeah, I'll look at this later. I'll look at that later. Right. I know they have those in place, but I'm telling you, they're not really enforcing a lot of those. Yeah, I think my camera's glitching too, but I don't know what to do about it. So I don't think I can do anything about it at this point. Somebody said I'm not getting notified. Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't be. Teresa's in Michigan, but I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure what's what every state is like. Every state's going to be different. Now, understand this. The states that you have, this is reality. The states that you deal with that have more draconian, authoritarian liberals as in charge, they're going to lock down the states even tighter because they have the ability to do it and they have an opportunity to do it. You see what I mean? So they're going to lock it down anyway because that's what they do. They're a bunch of totalitarians. So that's going to happen regardless, okay? That's going to happen regardless. But your more liberty-minded states and things like that are probably not going to have such a draconian response to it. Our state doesn't really have a draconian response to it. Well, and that's why the federal government is doing some of the things. They're getting those respirators to people. They're getting those things. Let me tell you what I bought, and I plan on using like silver and whatever else I can use in it. But let me show you what I bought. Now, I'm not a doctor or a nurse or anything like that. I do need some silver, by the way. I don't have any colloidal silver or whatever. But let me show you what I bought for my family just in case. Let's see if I can find it here. I think I can do it here. Let's see. Yes, it has me matched up in the collective. Let's see here. I bought one of these. There it is. I bought one of these. Wow, it was cheaper when I got it. Man, they just raised the price. Boy, I bought it the right time. Woohoo! This is a portable handheld ultrasonic mini nebulizer. I bought one of these. So, in case something happens with my family or somebody in the church or somebody like that, and they need breathing treatments, then we can use this to treat with like colloidal silver or something like that to treat. So, I think these are good. When I bought it last week, I didn't pay that much for it. Let's see what I paid for that. I didn't pay that much for that. I know that. Yeah, I paid $29.99 for mine, or $26.99 with shipping and tax or whatever. That's what I paid for mine. Oh, and I got the warranty. That's why. I bought a 3-year warranty with it. So I bought one of those just in case anything happens, that I could nebulize some treatments for the lungs. But I do need to get some silver. I don't have any. You know, I need to get some, actually. Helen, a nebulizer allows you to do breathing treatments. We'll ask our nurse, Teresa, but it allows you to do breathing treatments so you can breathe in what you need to kind of heal the lungs of, it's like an inhaler, yeah, but you're able to breathe it into your lungs and give your lungs treatments. People with asthma do it. They take treatments for their lungs because their lungs go in spasm and things. If I'm correct, I think I'm correct here. My cousin used to do it for asthma treatments and things like that. It goes into a mist and it helps you breathe, you know, but you know, I've seen some numbers that more people, while we've been talking about the coronavirus, more people have died from the flu than they have the coronavirus. While we've been talking about it, I thought somebody said that 200,000 people have died from the flu. You see what I mean? Okay, are you ready for Pastor Cooley's Theory Friday? Freaky Friday. Okay, because here you go. Here's my theory. My theory goes as follows. Number one, don't breathe on me. No. Number one, the virus is real. Number two, people are really dying. They are really dying, just like they do with the flu. Number three, the government has overreached. They have completely overreached in many areas. Number four, this was about passing a stimulus package. This was about pumping the U.S. economy with $2 trillion $2 trillion to pump the U.S. economy because of a coming recession that was coming. To stave off the coming recession, they all used it to start a digital currency. They never let a good crisis go to waste. So they're not letting this one go to waste. Now, check this out. I want you to see something that I thought was very interesting. Let me find it for you. That's not it. Let me see. Let's see. Hang on a second. Fauci, the doctor, already says that this coronavirus is probably going to go away in the... It's going to go away in the summer. And it's going to come back again. Well, duh. It's a flu. It's a virus. It's going to burn out in the winter, or be rampant in the winter and burn out in the summer. See that? That's one thing. So that's one thing they're already starting to say. Okay, then you have Trump. Trump's already starting to say that it's an aspiration, but he wants to reopen the country by Easter. But liberals in the media are like, wait a minute, no, we got to play this for everything we can get out of it. 2 hours ago, he said it may not be. Now they're saying Trump's desire. Now, why? Let me show you the timing of this. The vote is coming today to push this thing through, this $2 trillion bill. All right? They get it through. They've accomplished what they wanted to. Listen to me. The virus is real. But there's always an agenda that gets pushed with these things. I don't have to hold the theory that the virus is fake or that people aren't dying or people aren't sick. I can have two thoughts in my head at one time, right? I can say, wow, that virus sucks. It's bad. Lord, please help us. And at the same time, I can say, holy buckets, are they ever using this to their advantage to put the shackles on the American people? Do you see what I mean? I can have two thoughts in my head at once. Right? I can look at both things and I can say, okay, they're both true. Look at the timing of it. I want to show you something else. Hang on a second. Let me get on my handy dandy phone here. See if I can find it. Let's see. Let's see if this is it. Okay. Now, Dr. Birx, the other doctor, Dr. Birx, media has frightened the American people with salacious coronavirus numbers. That's just stupid. What did that person say? Oh, shut up. That's just dumb. Why do people have to act so dumb like that? I disagree with you. If you touch, you have to take. Knock it off, man. Grow up. Go get your own channel that nobody will listen to. And go blab to them, because nobody cares. Nobody really cares. Man. Anyway, back to my educated analysis of what's really going on. Look at this. Media has frightened the American people with salacious coronavirus numbers. No, he didn't say he agreed with me. He said you can't have two thoughts, but I think you can have an integrated thought. Whatever, it's dumb, okay? To make points like that, you're doing it on purpose just to be contrary, and then you're going to hit me up with some stupid thing in like 5 minutes on here that's going to trash what I'm doing. That's what they all do. I can see these trolls and their fingerprints and their stupid footprints coming a mile away. It's almost prophetic that I can see it. I know when their garbage meter's coming up, and I know when the pen is full of manure. I can just see it coming. It's just such garbage. I get so sick of people like that. Why waste your time being here? Why not just go somewhere else and go bug somebody else? Good day, all. Good day. All right. This is what they're doing. The media is frightening the American people. Look at the timing of this. Why would this come out now? There's another article I want to show you that's come out at the same time. Let me see if I can find it. Let's see. It was on here. More news. Let me see here. There was a That's not it. Harvard researchers, one long lockdown is not the right approach. That's true. Let's see. I'm looking for... if I can find it here. Here it is. Look at this. Same time this comes out. Same time. Is Trump a Kabbalist? He could be anything. He's a lost wicked man on his way to hell. I don't support Trump. You know, it's amazing to me, and I'm not saying you, Andrew, by the way, but it's amazing to me how people... It's amazing to me how people... can't understand when somebody's right, you agree with them because of the truth. Right? That's called integrity and honesty. When you try to act like nobody, Trump or anybody else, is never says anything true, you are really naive. What do I mean by that? You don't understand how the devil works. And if you're not careful, what you're going to do is not believe anything. I don't have to do any research into Trump. I did my research 5 years ago into Trump. And I already talked to everybody about who Trump is. And you can go look at it, the Hegelian dialectic. You can go look at everything I said about him. Trumped, I've done it for years. I stand on my record. Everything that I said back then came true. Nearly everything. Go back and listen to it. Look at this, though. Why is this report coming out right now? Epidemiologist behind highly cited coronavirus model drastically downgrades projections. You that have been listening to me for a while know full well what I said about Trump way back then. Full well. Years ago. So look at this. Neil Ferguson, who created the highly cited Imperial College London coronavirus model, which has been cited by organizations like the New York Times and has been instrumental in governmental policy decision making, offered a massively downgraded projection of the potential death toll on Wednesday. Ferguson's model projected 2.2 million dead people in the United States and 500,000 in the UK from COVID-19. If no action were taken to slow the virus and blunt its curve. The model predicted far fewer deaths if lockdown measures such as both taken by the British and American governments were undertaken. But look, after just one day of ordered lockdowns in the UK, Ferguson is presenting drastically downgraded estimates, crediting lockdown measures, but also revealing that far more people likely have the virus than his team figured. What did I tell everybody weeks ago? I told you guys weeks ago that people were walking around with this virus already. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I think our church had it a month and a half ago. Yep. Same symptoms like a month and a half ago. People had fevers, people were sick, congested, couldn't breathe, coughing, lots of phlegm. Had it for like 6 weeks. It was like 6 weeks ago. Or had it for 4 or 5 weeks. So, I should admit, Ferguson said, we've always been sensitive to the analysis and the modeling to a variety of levels of values to those quantities. What we've been seeing in Europe in the last week is a week or two is a rate of growth of the epidemic, which was faster than we expected from early data in China. Well, first of all, why take your data from China anyway? They're a bunch of stinking liars. Yeah, Carl, you were sick with 103 fever and you had the same symptoms because you probably already had it. Are still within the wide range of values which modeling groups we should have been looking at previously. A higher rate of transmission than expected means that more people have the virus than previously expected. Right? Based on both revised estimates of lockdown measures taken by the British government, the epidemiologist predicts hospitals will be just fine taking on COVID-19 patients and estimates 20,000 or far fewer people will die from the virus, from its agitation of other ailments, as reported. Look at this. Ferguson's change of tune comes days after Oxford epidemiologist Gupta criticizes the professor's model. I am surprised there has been such unqualified acceptance of this imperial model. I'm not surprised. My dad went into the hospital 6 weeks ago with the same symptoms, they said, you have a virus. You have a virus. Well, what kind of virus is it? We don't know. It'll just go away in a couple. It'll take you about 6 weeks to get through it. Okay. Oh, no. Carl said, me lost like 3 kilos. Carl, what does that mean? What in the world are 3 kilos? Carl. You're talking to Americans here. What do you mean you lost 3 kilos? To me, when you say 3 kilos, I think cocaine. I think you lost 3 kilos of cocaine. What does that mean, Carl? What does it mean that you lost 3 kilos? Carl said he lost 3 kilos. What does that mean, Carl? Nobody knows. When Carl says he lost 3 kilos. Professor Gupta led a team of researchers at Oxford in a modeling study which suggests the virus has been invisibly spread for at least a month earlier than suspected. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm not even a doctor and I said that. Right? I'm not even a doctor and I said that months ago a couple weeks ago. People have already had this. This has been going on for a while. Thank you for 6.613 pounds. Well, speaking in American, Carl said that he lost 6.6 pounds. For all of you Americans out there. You got to be careful with that kratom, man. You can take too much of it. Some people take that stuff way too much. From what I understand, it could have some similar effects as the opiates that you're trying to stop. But I don't know that for sure. I've never really looked at it. So, but it's definitely better than psychotropics and opiates. Excuse me. Okay. If her model is accurate, fewer than 1 in 1,000 who've been infected with COVID become sick enough to need hospitalization, leaving the vast majority with mild cases of free of symptoms. Ferguson did continue to argue that the Oxford model is too optimistic about death rates. Some have interpreted my evidence to UK Parliamentary Committee as indicating we have substantially revised our assessments of the potential mortality impact of COVID-19. This is not the case. Oh, yes, it is. You definitely just did that. You could doublespeak all you want to, but you just did that. That's what I said, yeah. That's what I said, Stephen L. I don't know enough about it, but I know people that have taken a ton of that. So, Carl lost 6.61387 pounds. Anyway. So, the epidemiologist behind highly cited coronavirus model drastically downgrades the projection. So, he says, it's not going to be quite as bad as we thought. Now, you think before the 15 days that Trump put in place, you think that would have been good to know? Right? But see, we had to hit this economy to mask it, to make it look like peak second week of April. Yeah. The Corona cabinet. Okay. So I think it's interesting that these articles are starting to come out, right? And they're starting to come out and tell you that things are a little different. Bye bye, Fruit Loop. Yeah, some Fruit Loop. Fruit Loops everywhere. That's the way it goes. Okay. All right. So that's what we have. That's what we have going on here, right in the midst of this. Now let's go over to some financial news here. Where's your proof of said virus? Oh wow. Oh no. Oh, here's where we have really weird people. Okay, these are the people that lose all the credibility, or all credibility. Do you see this Josiah Michael on the this is why nobody listens to those people, and they live in their mom's basement, and they probably don't even have a job, because they say really stupid things like, where's your proof there's a virus? Nobody really gets sick. Nobody coughs. Nobody has phlegm. He really has any virus. Where have you really... This is why people don't listen to people like that. This is why people ignore them. Right? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you, yeah, there's a real virus, and yeah, they're evil enough to use it for their advantage. Do you understand that? I'm not dumb. I understand how it works. There has to be some truth to it. I want Sour Patch Kids. What in the world? Well, let's look at something else here real quick as we talk about these things. So you have one lone ranger here in the Republican Party that's holding on and trying to mess the vote up as best he can because he doesn't like it. Which is sad, right? How can people really say that there's no virus? Crude plunges again after talks stall between Saudis and Russia. Oh, they're all playing a game. They're all playing a game. That's what they're doing. So anyway, but now you see this is going on. And this is like the most hated rep in Washington right now. Well, I don't think it's the start of the end, to be honest with you. Exactly. We know what's going on. We know how they operate. We know how they work. We know how all these people do it. Okay, we know that they never let a good crisis go to waste. They're using it to their advantage, but there's a real crisis. I mean, people are really dying. People are really sick. Jones always threatens to turn on Trump, but he isn't. He isn't gonna. Jones is just a big actor. I bought liquid nano silver. I wish I had some of that. I need to find out. Hey, somebody tell me where I can order some. I need to order some, okay? Well, no doubt it makes it easier for them to do it again. That's what a lot of this is about, okay? But again, we got to be wise about what we do. Wise, wisdom, use wisdom, right? Twelve times. Look at this. Isn't that interesting? The phrase make war. 12 times. That number 12 is the number of government. It's the number of that shows you something, doesn't it? Look at this. Every purpose is established by counsel with good advice. Make war. Mm-hmm. Be wise. You know, be wise. It's important that the way you fight. I've learned that the hard way. I've learned it the hard way that you have to be wise when you make war. And some of you haven't been through that yet, so you're reckless and you run straight ahead for it and you're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. And that's what happens. I've seen a lot of young warriors want to charge hell with a squirt gun. And that's what you have to be careful of. Mm-hmm. Gotta be careful. That you wage a proper warfare. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Bible deals with that, being very wise, because there's going to be a war. The dragon's going to make war, right? Holly Smith. My husband, Devin Smith, sells it. Nano silver. Does anybody remember the Silver Lungs Generator by Alex Jones? The Silver Lungs Generator. I used to love that commercial. You could get your Silver Lungs Generator now by calling 800-555. Right? That's funny, isn't it? All right. We'll look at some more phrases here in a little while. But see, this is going to pass through. They're going to pump the economy. They're going to get people back to work. Okay? And then there's going to be a surge and an uptick. There's going to be a surge and an uptick. After the overreach was done, infused economy, ushered Trump back into office. I told you guys 2 years ago, or a year ago, I think it was 2 years ago, but I don't know. Maybe it wasn't, but I think it was. But I remember that I said to you that Trump's going to win by a landslide. And he is. He's going to win by a landslide. I believe that. Absolutely, I believe that. Yep, I certainly do. But anyway, let's see here. Let's look at some other news here. And if, by the way, let me give you a second. Does anybody have anything they want to talk about today? They'd like to talk about today. Now, I do reserve the right, as being the sole dictator of this channel, to erase, ignore, veto any suggestion or comment that you make. But if you want to talk about something, let's do it. Let me play a song here. I'll give you a chance if somebody's got a question or something they'd like answered before we get into anything else. Let's see here.
And can it be that I should gain any interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued?
Divine.
right. Well, listen, I had a bunch of things said here. Let's see. Somebody asked me. Let's see. About when people talk about our country's president, outright disrespect him, try to charge him with crimes, et cetera, and try to impeach him. What are they doing? Let's see. Well, some of them are just exercising free speech. Oh, absolutely. We'll pray for people. Let's see. Dreams and demonic attacks. We can talk about dreams a little bit. First of all, in the grand scheme of things, let's talk about dreams here for a second. And we'll get to, you know, dream. We're not to trust in dreams. Sometimes dreams, excuse me, are a result of our minds taking in subconsciously, like Pastor Mike talked about in the stress mind, taking in subconsciously a bunch of other things into our minds, a bunch of information and things like that. Then it kind of congeals it all together, mixes it all together. And then they come out in the form of a dream while you're sleeping. Okay? Sometimes with dreams, devils can attack you in dreams. Absolutely. Job is an example of that. One of Job's friends in Job chapter 4 had a dream. And a devil came to him in a dream, and the devil came to him in a dream and told him that Job was wrong. Okay, so the devil was trying to manipulate Job's friend to cause Job more tyranny. Remember we looked at that? You remember that in Job chapter 4? Was trying to terrorize Job and make his affliction worse. I think it was Job. Let's see. Here it is. Yep. Now a thing was secretly brought to me in mine ear received a little thereof in thoughts from the visions of the night when deep sleep falleth on men. So he was in a deep sleep. He's likening visions and dreams to the same. Okay? So visions and dreams are pretty much the same in that sense. Now a thing was secretly brought to me and mine ear received a little thereof. In thoughts from the visions of the night when deep sleep falleth on men. Fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. So in this dream, this spirit came to Job, or came to Job's friend, and basically said he was delivering a message for Job. Okay? Now, was it correct? No, it was wrong. It was absolutely wrong. Now, you ask the question, what do you think the purpose of the attack is, and are they trying to discourage, shake, and tempt us? Well, yes. Look at this. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. So there are dreams. The old preachers from a long time ago, 400 years ago, used to call them nocturnal pollutions. So there are sometimes sexual dreams that people have. Now, I always warn people and caution people. If they can at all stop that in their dream, become conscious of that, then they have a duty as a Christian to become conscious of that and never comply with that dream. To never comply with that dream. What do I mean by that? Well, when they come in the form of your spouse or they come in the form of some kind of perversion. Now, I don't want you guys to get dirty. And if Mike, if anybody has any comments on here that remotely look perverted, just erase them right away and get them off there. I'm not putting up with any nonsense. I don't want any perversions on this. Now, so here's the thing. Sometimes you can be cognizant in that dream. Now, when I tell you this, Lord willing, this will enable you and help you. Now, not all times can you be cognizant in dreams. Sometimes you have no control over what's happening and you don't even realize that you're in that type of a dream or that situation. Okay? Yeah, but here's the thing. All right, so sometimes that's going to happen. That's not your fault. You can't really do about it. Anything about it, you wake up and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't know what happened. I didn't want anything to do with that. Because it's still in your mind. Okay? However, many times when you are consciously, like now, understand that God does allow you to be able to speak the name of Christ in your dream. So, I have had devils attack me in dreams. Now, many times I understand what's going on. And I'm like, I mean, I'm cognizant and I could be like, uh-uh. For instance, like a week ago, I had a dream and it wasn't anything perverted or that. It was just Satan trying to agitate me and I knew it was the devil. It was a former friend of mine that came in my dream that was starting to get angry with me. His eyes got really big and all kinds of weird stuff started happening. And then everything went slow motion. When it starts to go like this, that's when you know there's a devil involved. I can give you a hint to that. I know what you're saying when you say your mouth wouldn't work. That's because in your dream, you're kind of in a different realm. You're at your most weakness. And no, I'm not a charismatic, and no, I don't believe in spooky stuff. I'm just telling you the truth. There are times that you can fight that, and there are times that you don't have any control over it. But you should always want to repent of anything. But every time I have said the name of Jesus, every time, gone. And everything tries to stop you from saying the name of Jesus. So you have to try to be cognizant of that. And it could be from your own self, too, as well. But again, there's nothing you can control when you're sleeping. But always think Bible, like Pastor Mike says, and always think Jesus. And if something happens in a dream, sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. But when you wake up, ask the Lord to forgive you and ask the Lord to deal with it. Ask the Lord to have mercy on you, and that's what you can do. Right. So I've always been able to, as far as when that time come, the Lord's always, when I was cognizant of it, there's sometimes in dreams that you're not, you're just like taking along a voyage and there's nothing really you can do. But I will say this, and I see, I've been in dreams before where I've recognized that I was being attacked by the devil. You know, I've had dreams that I've dealt with things like that before. And I've looked at that devil and I said, I know what you are. Well, that's what they're trying. The purpose is this. Kayla, you asked, what's the purpose? To trouble you. That's the purpose, to shake you, to trouble you. Because they can't take your soul. So they trouble the saints of God. They come to agitate the saints of God. That's the point. The point is to trouble you. That's what spirits do. It's a war. By the way, the other purpose is this, to fill your mind with wicked thoughts. So the devil wants, while you're waking, to worry about what you just dreamed. Do you understand that? Kayla, I have no idea. You say they have power to physically manifest and move things in your house. I have no idea why you guys would have demonic activity in your house. You know, I don't know. You know, you shouldn't have that. Right, you don't need to figure out what it is. Just say the name of Jesus. You're not trying to live out your dreams inside of them, like Aaron said. No, it's just the Lord Jesus. That's it. That's all you got to be focused on. You don't have to try to figure everything out. But listen to me. Here's the problem. Satan wants you to go back and think about that dream. That's why the devil puts things in your mind like that. So you dream about that, then you're worried about it. Oh my goodness, what if that's real? Or what if this, and what if that, and what if this? No, none of it is. Then Satan wants you to think about those things. And God says, don't think about those things. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. No, Mary, I'm glad you don't have those things. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But Satan uses that realm when you're sleeping because you're at your weakest point when you're sleeping, and he uses it to attack you. He uses it to attack you. That's the point. That's what he's using it for. And he wants those thoughts, those dirty thoughts and those things, those troubling thoughts in your dreams to be on your mind all day. So what are we supposed to do with those? Cast them down. So you're not to think on those things. But whatever, I do not understand why you would have people, why you would have things moving in your house and that type of demonic disruption in your home. I don't know. But that's how Satan works. He's always a coward like that. That's how he works. He works when you're at your weakest point. But like I said, when dreams like that go through your mind, you get rid of them. You don't think on those again, and you don't talk about them. You don't got to tell people, I had this bad dream about this that took place. No, you take it to Jesus, ask him to forgive you. Lord, I had no control over that. I hate it. God, please help me with my thoughts. Help me not to focus on any of those things. Help me to focus on you, and then fill your mind with God's word. Just like you would with troubling thoughts while you're awake, you do the same thing from things that happen to you when you were asleep. You don't focus on evil. Because Satan will have you try to figure out, well, where did that come from? Why do I have that? What about this? It doesn't matter why. You're not told to figure out why. You're not told to figure out why. You're told to cast down imaginations and every high thing. I'm not told to figure out why did I have that. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. Don't think about it anymore. You put those things out of your mind and you cast them down in Jesus' name and you get scripture in your mind. You don't put those things on your mind. You don't try to figure that out. God never told you to figure out why evil comes. God never told you to understand evil. Listen to what he said. Look at what the Bible says. You listen to me. Look at this. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you be you wise unto that which is good. Listen. Listen. Wise unto that which is good. You search out wisdom in the scriptures. You be wise to that which is good. You set your heart to know that which is good. And I'm preaching to you now, and I want you listening. Don't worry about all this stuff going on the side here. You listen to what I'm saying. You be wise to what is good. You fill your heart with what is good. And you be simple concerning evil. That's what you do. That's God's command. Not for you to search out evil. It says search out that which is good. Think on these things. I don't have to wonder why. I got fallen flesh. I live in a wicked world. My mind has taken in all manner of wickedness from everywhere in this world since I've been born. But I've been commanded to search out that which is good. To be wise unto that which is good. To know the matter of a thing. To search it out. I haven't been told, well, figure out why evil comes to your mind. Figure out what you can do about it or fear it and do all. No. You got a bad dream, you let it go. You let it go. You don't focus on it. Just like any other perverted thing. Listen, if you accidentally saw a pornographic picture, would you sit there and think about it on purpose for days on end? Why am I see it? Why did I see that? Why? And then that image keeps coming up in your head. It keeps coming up in your head, keeps coming up in your head. Do you see that? That's wicked. You wouldn't do that. You'd be like, I can't do that. I got to put that out of my mind. Right. Same thing goes for bad dreams. You put them on out of your mind. You give them no stock. You give them no place. Twelve times, no place in the Bible. Satan is a master of topography. He's a master of the land. He knows exactly what he's doing. So then what do? We give no place to the devil. None. So we don't give any place to evil. Nope. We give no place. We're very careful to give no place to Satan. We don't give any place to sit. So we are careful. Too many people focus on their bad dreams and other things like that. That's what the devil wants you to do. Look at this. Neither give place to the devil. We give no place. Now, as far as manifestations of evil, I can tell you that in talking about that, let me say this to you. Kayla, let me say this. Baptist preacher John Leland was over in Virginia. He was at his house. This was back during the right after the Great Awakening. And he would come home. And at times he would hear in his walls this loud screaming. Loud screaming that would be just like shriek and it would just terrify. Well, John Leland went on the road to preach and he left. And his wife said she would hear it like every night in the walls. It was inside the walls. Finally, John Leland came home one night and he said it was still there months later. And he prayed and called it out. And then he heard one last shrill, very loud shrill, and then it was gone. And the Lord delivered him from that and his family from that. I don't know, you know, why there's so much of that. I mean, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure when you were saved, when your mother was saved. I'm not sure of activity going on in the home or anything. I just, you know, or it's just Satan bothering you or pestering you. I don't know. But I know the Bible has the answer for it. And that God is good and he's faithful and he'll take care of you. And just remember, Devils like to howl. They like to scream. They like to screech. But they can't touch you. So they can't harm you. You know, they can't harm you. They can only try to terrify you. That's what they do. That sounds like, Kyle, that sounds like a bunch of charismatic nonsense to me. It's good to see you on here again, Decoder, for sure. Yeah, I can tell you stories when I'm at my house. I mean, I'll tell you stories about. I remember one night when our church went through a time of really crazy demonic attacks from Satan. And when we had witches and all kinds of people after us. My wife and I were sitting late at night. It was midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that. We're sitting up and probably midnight, probably wasn't that late, but midnight, we're sitting up and all of a sudden the doorbell rings. And we're like, what in the world was that? What in the world was that? And we looked outside, nobody was out there. Nobody was around. I mean, I could see my front door. I had owls come up and just like sit and hoot right in front of my, it was weird. I had devils attack me in my dreams. You know, I had devils attack me in my dreams. I called them out. I remember this Jezebel devil, man, this Jezebel devil. And I'm just laughing because of how it happened. This Jezebel devil came in one of my dreams. I'm laying on my bed sleeping. And in my dream, I'm laying in my bed sleeping. And this Jezebel Pentecostal holiness chick is like above me. And she looks at me and she goes, she told me to shut up. She told me to shut up, and I go, and I go, and I did this. I laughed. When she told me to shut up, I just started, I kind of laughed at her, which I do with women usually like that. And then the devil goes, I told you to shut up. And it got as big as my house. And it was this huge, manifesting, crazy devil. And everything went in slow motion, everything. And I said the name of the Lord Jesus, and boom, it was over. But I was like, I knew what that was. I had witches after me like crazy, man. They were mad at me. We were preaching in some places, and it was making the devils mad, the witches mad. We were just... you know, what we were facing, what we were going against at the time was crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. But I don't have a lot of that spooky stuff. Now, I mean, I get dreams sometimes. Everybody gets dreams, but don't put a lot into them. Forget about them and move on. It was a crazy devil, Joe. I'm telling you, man, it was, I hate to laugh, but I was just laughing because of the way it happened. Because I seriously made that Jezebel spirit so mad that it manifested. I'm telling you, it was huge. The thing got huge. It morphed into this humongous thing. It was humongous. I was like, whoa. Uh-oh. I took that thing off. Man, did I make it mad. I'm not kidding. And don't worry, I'm not going Pentecostal crazy on you. I'm just telling you it happened. Yeah, it was nuts. But, yeah, we had a witch. Yeah, there was, yeah, we had witches. Yep, and delivered me away from them nut jobs and those devils and witches and all that. I mean, I could tell you stories. Look, when the autobiography or when the biography is written about Pastor Cooley and Old Paths Baptist Church, some of you are going to be like, are you kidding me? And and they're going to be like, nope, he's not kidding you. With many eyewitnesses, let me tell you, crazy stuff, crazy. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Amen. I can say that God delivered me out of it all. He strengthened me and humbled me. Whooped my tail a bunch of times. Don't worry, Andrea. It's not getting weird. It's cool. Don't worry. I'm still the same preacher. I just been through some things. I won't let it get too weird. Trust me. And by the way, Andrea, you may be younger in your Christian life as well. And some of you that are younger in that, don't worry about it, okay? You don't have to experience any of this. God may not ever have anything like that happen to you. You may never have anything like that. There's people in our church that have never had anything like that. In fact, I had people in my church be like, Pastor, what's going on? Is there going to be anybody normal here? I'm like, I don't know, brother. I just do not know. But I'll tell you what, the truth of everything that's happened in my ministry, oh yeah. Oh yeah, you got to understand, man, we made a lot of devils mad. We preached against Hollywood, we exposed a lot of those things, and then it blew up everywhere to like a million people watching that video, and people saw it everywhere, and people were like, and Disney and all that stuff, and people were burning their stuff, getting rid of all their Disney stuff, throwing all their movies away. That, I made the devil mad. This church made the devil mad. It was a war, man. Whew. And it was strange for a while. Strange. You shouldn't be seeing any spirits or anything like that. If you're seeing that stuff, it's because your mind is opened up to another dimension. You need to ask, into the spirit world. You need to ask God to close that. If she's saved by the grace of God, I'm telling you what, that Antichrist spirit is dangerous like that. So if you're walking around seeing devils while you're walking around, that's not good. Yeah, don't worry, Carl. You're weird enough without any of that stuff happening. Mary, let me talk to you for a few seconds here. Mary, don't worry. Carl's weird enough for the both of you. Don't worry about that. The Croatian sensation is strange enough for both of you. By the way, I've had that happen before, too. The devil getting mad at me about broadcasting. Had people sitting outside of my door honking their horn. Anyway, but listen. I like my life now way better than I did when I was battling witches and all kinds of weird stuff. And I have a lot of affliction. No, no, Kyle. Your wife's not supposed to see devils. There is no... Look, let me show you. Let me show you the gifts of the Spirit, okay? Okay? Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretations of tongues. So some of these faded away, but none of these were gifts. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Right? These are the gifts that God gives a body of believers, the church, the Christians, to have. Okay? Now, each gift is different. But nowhere in the Bible do you see the gift to see devils. And you have to be very careful. Right? I mean, dreams will come and things will happen, things that have happened in your mind, and then you'll think when something like that happens, it's in a dream, you can think, oh man, there must be something wrong with me, but there isn't. Your mind subconsciously brought all those things together, and then something happens that's similar to that. That's not a big deal. That doesn't mean you have devils. But when you're talking about visibly seeing something with your eyes, you're not supposed to see devils. Oh, yeah, Kevin, I got one better. One time when I was preaching, a 60-year-old obese man that was 30, that weighed like 300 pounds, was skipping down the road like a little girl while I was preaching. Beat that one. No. Your third eye shouldn't be opened. That should be closed. That's not good at all. That's very dangerous. There's no, God never gave a gift. I just read to you the gifts, and none of those are seeing devils. None of the apostles said that people would have the gift of seeing devils or seeing black on different objects. Do you know what that is? That's witchcraft. That's witchcraft. The guy that stood on his head for 10 minutes, yeah, that was weird. So, that stuff's not normal. Not good. You know, you got to understand that. That's the same guy, Lisa. That's the same guy. Yep. Those things are not biblical, and we ought to be careful about those. And Kyle, I love you. I'm not trying to hurt you or your wife or anybody else. I'm not saying your wife's a witch or anything like that. I'm saying you got to ask God to take that away. I can't, you know, I don't have an answer for everything that happens in this, that everything that happens to us. That's right, David. Seeing devils does not edify the church. The gifts are for the church. That's right. So I want you to be careful with that, okay? That's very dangerous. And, you know, that there are people that have dealt with occultic things before, and then they get saved, and then there's still things about their life that they haven't got taken out. Yeah, I mean, you got to be careful about walking around thinking that you have some kind of power to see things. I'm just curious, Kyle, were you guys ever members of a charismatic church, a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church? I'm just curious about that. Were you ever members of one of those? I'll wait to see if you can answer that. Let's see here. There it is right there. You just said it. No, she had this since before I knew her. Her family was part of a Quaker-style church, but as she described, it didn't seem too crazy like that. She never really told anyone seriously before. That's it right there. When you study the Quakers and you understand that, they had some weird, weird, weird doctrines. They were called Quakers. And they quaked under the spirit, and they did all these other things. There's the connection. There's the connection to where that comes from, right there. I don't want to guarantee it, but I can almost guarantee that's where it comes from. It's a religious spirit, that's what it is. But it's a false religion, it's a false spirit. Quakers also are called Friends, are historically Christian denomination group, which formal name was Religious Society of Friends. Look at this. Look at this. Members of the various Quaker movements are all generally united by their belief in the ability of each human being to experientially access the light within or that of God in everyone. See it? There you go. Look closely. Some may profess the priesthood of believers, a doctrine derived from the first epistle of Peter. They include all those with the evangelical holiness traditional Quakers understand Christianity. They're non-theist Quakers who, is what they're saying, hierarchical structures. Look at this. During the 18th century, Quakers entered the quietest period in the history of their church, becoming more inward-looking spiritually and less active in converting others. Friends of the Light. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to quake and shake that off, isn't it, Aaron? So here they are. Most friends believe in continuing revelation. Here you go. Look. Here it is. Continuing revelation that God continuously reveals truth directly to individuals. Do you see that? Look at it. Continuing revelation that God continuously reveals truth directly to individuals. What is she saying? Your wife is saying that she gets revelations about things and it's from God. That's what it is. Friends often focus on trying to hear God. It's not enough to hear of Christ or read of Christ, but this is the thing, to feel him to be my root, my life, my foundation. They reject the idea of priests, believing in the priest of all believers. Some express their concept of God using phrases as the inner light, the inward light of Christ, or the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yep, there it is. There it is. That's where it's at. Yep. Some Quakers are universalists too, as well. Quakers bear witness or testify to their religious beliefs and their spiritual lives, drawing on the James advice, but faith by itself is not accompanied by action, is dead. This religious witness is rooted in their immediate experience of God and verified by the Bible, they say. Friends argue that they feel personally moved by God rather than following an ethical code. Mm-hmm. There you go. Programmed worship. There's often a prepared Bible message delivered by an individual theological training from Bible college, or maybe hymns or sermons or Bible readings. During the national spiritual revival of the time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's them. They believe some crazy weird doctrines. They have a peace testimony against war. testimony of simplicity. Okay. So anyway, this is them. I think that's weird. Does anybody else think this is weird? See that? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 points. Interesting, isn't it? George Fox. The Shakers. Because of their ecclesiastical behavior, they were the Shakers and the Quakers here. Right? Here you go. That's them. She became Mother Anne. Well, who would have thought that? I saw in a vision the Lord Jesus in his kingdom and glory. He revealed to me the depth of man's loss, what it was in the way of redemption thereof. Then I was able to bear an open testimony against the sin that is the root of all evil. And I felt the power of God flow into my soul like a fountain of living water. From that day, I've been able to take up a full cross against the doleful works of the flesh. Oh, really, lady? Look at that. Mother Ann Lee. Having supposedly received a revelation on May 9th, May 19th, Anne Lee and eight of her followers, nine of them total, sailed from Liverpool for colonial America. Anne and her husband, Abraham Stanley, brother William Lee, niece Nancy Lee, I don't care about their names really, abandoned Anne Lee shortly thereafter and remarried. Oh, wow, that wasn't nice. Abraham Stanley, you bad boy. The remaining Shakers settled in Waterville, New York. Mother Anne's hope for the Shakers in America was represented in a vision. I saw a large tree, every leaf of which stone with such brightness as made it appear like a burning torch representing the Church of Christ, which will yet be established in this earth. Unable to swear an oath of allegiance as it was against their faith, the members were imprisoned for about 6 months. Oh, Mother Anne. The Shaker movement. So anyway, Shakers, Quakers. Yeah. So there you have it. I believe that's your source. That's where it comes from. That's how it got there. Wow, it does do that. Sons of God, daughters of men. Same symbol too, by the way. Yep. There you go. She carried that religious thing with her. Amen. That's a good song. Talks about the devil's forces and all going on around us, and God keeps us still. Amen. And his truth abideth still. There goes my watch. Anyway, you know, the Kyle says nothing she has seen disagrees with Scripture. Well, yes, because you're not supposed to see devils. So that would disagree with Scripture. You know, you're not supposed to see things. You're not supposed to see devils. You're just not supposed to. It's a very deceiving spirit. You know, it's a very deceiving spirit, and you have to be very cautious of it. So, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding there that needs to be dealt with scripturally, because you shouldn't be seeing those things. It just shouldn't be happening. So, anyway, I'm going to get ready to get out of here so I can go do some praying and walking in the sunshine here, get some exercise. Oh, I think I might broadcast the sermon live on Sunday just because there's nobody here. And, you know, I might just do that. So if I do, it'll be at 10:45 Central Time. So, you know, I'll debate that and see actually what exactly the Lord would have me to do. Right. Right, exactly. It's not supposed to be the spirits that you're not supposed to see spirits. Let's see. We've got saved and found out about the KJV, which led us to IFB, but the IFB wasn't very welcoming for a variety of reasons. Baptists have good doctrine, but they can be so mean. Well, sometimes Baptists can be mean. Sometimes people think I'm mean. I probably am sometimes mean. A lot of people are mean too. A lot of other Christians are mean too. But I will say this. Baptists were not as mean as Protestants were or Catholics were to kill people. That part's true. Anyway, I don't know. I've seen all kinds. And I'm definitely a Baptist, so I don't pull any punches on that one. For sure. But I understand Bible doctrine. That's why I am. Anyway, but let's see. If there are no more questions, then I'll just kind of take off here. Because I've been on 2 hours. I put my 2 hours in. Right? I put my 2 hours in. So I can get... boy, that thing charges slow on there. I got my 2 hours in so I can get going here. I got a lot of other work to do and get home, spend some time with my family while we're all on lockdown. The Great American Lockdown. They have this Great America, what's it called? Takeout. Great American Takeout. We'll call it the Great American Lockdown. That's funny. Anyway, but nevertheless, we'll keep moving along here. Yep, I've looked into a lot of church history. I've studied it for years. Time does go fast, doesn't it, Erica? I can't believe we've been on here for 2 hours. I don't know where Janine's been. She's been gone. Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of churches don't have... I have not preached... Yes, well, I have in my Duck Dynasty when... Why I Preach Against Duck Dynasty sermon. I talked about the Campbellite movement, but I will be in Baptist history talking about the Campbellite movement for sure. So, I might be preaching a sermon out of Colossians chapter 1 on Sunday morning, 10:45 a.m. Central Time. And then I might do an afternoon message too as well. We'll see. I'm going to withhold my series that I'm doing right now, I think, until Old Paz is back together again in person. But it's just better that way for me and for our church as a whole. So hopefully that will... Before you go, there's 82 people on there. Go ahead and like this. Put the thumbs up and everything else like that. You know, only 35 have put the thumbs up, and there's 80 people on here. So try to do that if you can. Thank you for those that gave for Pastor Mike as well. Thank you for that. And some of you also gave to Old Paz Baptist Church as well, to our ministry. And thank you for that. I'm very grateful for that. And, you know, thank you. Folks PayPal'd, and they can find that at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. And because churches still have bills, and we still got a ton of them coming through, even though people are going to be off work and people are going to be hurting for money and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so keep that in mind when you think about the ministry and everything else like that and the furtherance of the gospel and the work of the ministry. So think about those things for sure. And pray for us. Pray for everyone's health. Pray everyone stays healthy and safe during this time. This is a time of sickness for a lot of people. Yeah, I hear you, Lisa. Me too. I'm about ready to get it here too in April, right? The Trump blessing. Pray for me about decisions. I've got some decisions. This chat has no donate. David, I don't monetize my account. If you PayPal, you can send it to salvationpreacher@gmail.com. But I don't monetize anything. My account's not monetized. I don't do that. So, but if somebody wants to give, they sure can. And we sure would appreciate it for sure. But we don't. And you can do that through, if you go to our sermon audio page, which is here, our homepage here. Look at me. I don't even know what I'm doing. I think there's a spot on here. Oh, here it is. Give, right there. And then you can click on, you know, ways to donate. I don't even know what those are. Oh, I guess it's PayPal. So you can click on, I knew the PayPal was there. I thought there was something else there. PayPal. So you can put it all in here like this, and you can send it off just like that. So that's how you can do it through there. That's Old Paz Baptist, Northfield, Minnesota. And then you just click on that, and you can send something that way if you'd like. But either way, pray for us, because we definitely need that. During these times, especially through all these financial challenges. Pray for me for wisdom as well. I've got decisions to make about a few things. So pray for that, if you would, for me, for some decisions. Thanks, Jessica. I appreciate that. But I understand what you're talking about being mean, because there's I'm not really an IFB pastor. I'm an old fashioned. I call myself an old fashioned Baptist pastor. What I mean by that is, I'm kind to people when I deal with them. I'm bold and forward when I preach, but I try to be kind to people when I deal with them. You know, I don't blame you for not wanting to put your kids in the school. I wouldn't put my kids in a Christian school either if I didn't have to. And I don't. My wife homeschools, and that's what I suggest. I don't blame you. If you don't support the Christian school, a lot of these churches flip out on you. And they treat you like garbage because you want to homeschool your kids. Or you can't afford to put them in the Christian school. And I get it. I know the mentality. You know, I know the mentality. So I definitely understand where you're coming from there. And I understand that spirit that you're talking about. You know, so I understand that too, Jessica. I believe me, I've seen it all. Sadly. Amen. Yeah, don't give in to the far out controversies. Excuse me, other issues that are out there. Be careful about all that. Don't be given in to fear and all those things. All right. Well, God bless you all. I'm going to take off here. Have a good night, everyone, and I'll see you back here maybe Sunday morning. We'll see.